Christy, a Trekkie till I die.
And I'm Kitty, trained in the ways of the Jedi.
Grab a cup of Earl Grey.
Or a mug of Andorian ale.
And join us on our mission to seek out new life.
And new lessons from Star Trek.
Welcome back. The stardate is 41997.7. Today we're going to be talking about the big goodbye. The Enterprise is set to make contact with a Jurata, an insect race we first saw in the 1996 movie Independence Day. Or at least I can only assume that they're the same aliens by their annoying screeching noises. Anyway, here's the skinny. The Jurata are super picky about how others greet them, and this is the Federation's second attempt at making friends. Last time was apparently a dumpster fire. They expect to be greeted in their language and without any mistakes. So, Captain Picard has practiced ad nauseam and is as ready as he'll ever be. So, at the advice of Counselor Troy, he heads to the holodeck for a little R&R while the ship is en route. Playing the part of a 1940s detective, Dixon Hill, a lead character from a favorite book series of his, Picard enters the holodeck along with his resident history expert, Officer Whalen, as well as Beverly Crusher and, of course, Mr. Data. All is well until the holodeck screws up, and not only are they stuck in a holo novel and surrounded by armed gangsters, but the safety protocols are off, so the unreal bullets can do some very real damage. What to do when the holo program just won't end, and tips for using the right pronoun when introducing oneself to alien insects, on today's episode of Lessons from Star Trek. Welcome to the 2020 coronavirus outbreak.
It's toilet paper watch 2020.
Here's your break from the outbreak. Kitty yes. Just got a call from her daughter. Tell them what they said.
Yes. So my daughter's at a Target in another county south of us, and they have toilet paper, glad to say, and paper towels, but they're selling the toilet paper by the roll. So they're breaking down the packs and selling it by the roll. That's how savage everyone is getting right now.
Freaking vultures.
That's stupid. That's insane.
Y'all, be cool.
Yeah.
Keep your brain.
Yeah. And mind your business. Yeah. It's allergy season in Texas. Just because people are sneezing. Don't come for me, Karen.
Listen, I know we're here to talk about Star Trek, but this is funny because Kitty went to the dollar store yesterday to get some stuff, like normal stuff, not hoarding stuff.
Yeah.
And it is allergy season in Texas. You're going to sniffle. You know, you might have a bit of a headache. I mean, allergies are real, folks.
For sure.
And it doesn't mean you have the corona.
Yeah.
You don't have the woo flu.
But you can't sputter, cough, sneeze, blink. Like yesterday, I was full on, eyes running, water, nose running. I was sneezing and I coughed. Like that. I'm a nurse. I cough into my freaking elbow. And this lady turned and started for me. She came for me. She was like, how dare you put yourself out in public when you're coughing and you're ill? And I'm like, hold on. And I am so non-confrontational. Y'all have to know this about me.
I can verify that.
I will walk away before I ever say anything. And I had enough. Like that was... I just turned around and I was like,
no. What'd you say?
No.
It's funny.
I was just like, no, listen, Karen.
Because
every mean girl is a Karen, Cheryl, or Susan. So listen, Karen, don't come for me. I have allergies. Mind your business and get your stuff and get yourself out of the store. Yeah, I can't.
Good advice.
They're savage.
Don't assume. I mean, there's precautions that we should be taking because we care about our fellow man. So wash your hands. And if you weren't doing that in the first place, you're nasty.
Yeah. Wash your hands. Wipe your and maybe mind your business. Mm-hmm. How about you do that?
Let's not lose our ever-loving minds over this. Just use your head.
Yeah.
For Pete's sake. Yeah. Anyway.
And just saying, people who are sick, they have to have groceries too.
If you're sick, order online though, please.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is. I mean, listen, it's a real thing, and yes, it's serious.
Okay? Yes.
We're not trying to make fun of it, but, I mean, there is something to be said for using good sense. I, for one, have two people in my home that are compromised. One's my mom's elderly. You can't just be all willy-nilly and shaking hands and hugging up on people and touching surfaces and not washing your hands because they're at risk. They're at higher risk. If I got it, I probably wouldn't even know I had it. Same thing with the majority of the population, but there are some that are at risk. And for their sakes, all of us need to do our part to mitigate this. So
And I have an autoimmune disorder. That does not include making
dirty faces at your this person in the dollar store because they cough a little bit.
And I just don't keep your comments to yourself, because people are going to get savage and they're going to come for you. Don't come for me unless I call for you.
And quit buying all the toilet paper.
Yes, thank you. And this is the close of our PSA for toilet paper safety.
That was all free.
Yes.
Okay, so the Enterprise is meeting up with the Jurata in our episode, The Big Goodbye. Mm-hmm. And the Jurata are an insect race. We never see them, but I just totally picture them being those things on Independence Day.
I kind of picture them as giant grasshoppers, like praying mantis.
Like off of Bug's Life, except bigger. That's what they look like on Independence Day, is big old praying mantis.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Praying mantises, praying mantises.
Praying
I don't know what the plural is.
I don't know.
Plural manti. That's it. Praying manti. So, yeah, they're supposed to meet up with these guys, girls, whatever, insects. And apparently the Federation has made one attempt at this in the past, and it went horribly wrong because this greeting that they require has to be very precise and exact, and if they mess it up at all, then, you know, game over, we're not talking to you, which is so stupid.
It is.
You know, there are people like this. Like, if you mess up, whatever, if you say the wrong thing... Because, I mean, come on, people. Nobody's perfect.
Right.
But Picard, being the great captain that he is, he's going to practice and practice and practice until he gets it down. And he's worn out, and Troy's helped him, you know, learn this. But he's tired, so she makes a recommendation to him.
Yeah. She tells him to take a break, that the holodeck has been prepped with all new updates, and that he needs a diversion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he needs a break.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel that same way. I kind of wish we had a holodeck. I wish it was a real thing, because that would be really cool.
It really would be.
Of anything on the Enterprise that they have, like replicators or holodeck, which would you prefer got made first?
I think a holodeck.
Yeah. Same. I know replicators make more sense and it's more logical, but sometimes you just want to have fun.
Yeah. And I don't want it to be forever. I just want it to be right now, you know, for right now. We are instant gratification people. Mm-hmm. That's what we are.
Microwave society.
Yes. So I want what I want right now. It doesn't mean that I'm going to want it in a day or an hour. Or, hey, I've been known in 10 minutes to change my mind.
I know. And you can be like, computer, program the beach. You can program the beach or the mountains or anything but Alaska.
I, on the other hand, wouldn't mind Alaska.
Stop it.
As long as we're not on a cruise ship, we'll be fine.
Seventh level. So anyway, Captain Picard has a particular program that he's had the holodeck programmed with, and it's the Dixon Hill novel, apparently one of his favorite reads from the 20th century, and it's about a 1940s detective named Dixon Hill, and Picard wants to play the lead role in this. That would be so cool to, like, pick your favorite book and then be a character.
Too. Yeah.
Who would you be? What book?
You know, I went back and forth with this. I kind of thought, you know, I wouldn't go for the obvious, which would be the classics. But then I go back to the classics, obviously. But I think I would go for an entire series by an author called Julie Garwood. And it's all about the Buchanans. And so it starts with a ransom way, way back, and then it ends up in present day with the Buchanans.
Ooh, and I remember that one. Yeah.
I love that series. It's full of action. It's full of adventure, danger, intrigue. I love it. But then I also love Pride and Prejudice. Mm-hmm. And it's not action-packed, and it's not full of, you know, intrigue and all the adventure. But it is a journey nonetheless about finding yourself and figuring out who you are. And I think I like that too. So,
yeah, I gave it a lot of thought. And it's, I guess it kind of comes down to whatever I'm in the mood for. Because, I mean, sky's the limit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably end up with my favorite. But, you know, this would also be a very good learning tool for people.
Yeah.
An exercise in compassion for others. For instance, and I'll give you for instance, if you could be like a minority in the 1950s or in the 1800s, it would give you a completely different perspective on today's world.
Yes.
because right now we only have one perspective, and that's our own. We only have our own experiences. Mm-hmm. We don't have anybody else's to borrow, and we can read about them. We can watch movies where we see people being treated poorly, but never would we
But it's ever. Not relatable.
Yes, right. We can sympathize, but we cannot yes. empathize. And I think that that would be a tremendous use for it.
Yeah.
But as far as novels go, there's so many. There's yeah. so many, I can't narrow it down. I would love to, wouldn't it be cool to be like in Harry Potter and be Molly Weasley? You know? or Hermione or whatever.
Yes, to be, it would be.
Because it's a holodeck. You can do whatever you want.
The options are virtually endless. So I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like movies, I guess. I go back to my tried and trues. Mm-hmm. But I enjoy various different kinds, you right. know? So I agree. I think it would be amazing. And I do think it would be a tremendous teaching tool mm-hmm. to maybe set the stage and give someone a perspective that they would not otherwise have. Mm-hmm. And I think that is truly life changing.
It would be. For real. I mean, it literally is a place where dreams come true.
Yeah.
That you can imagine. Well, the first time that Picard goes to this, he doesn't bother changing out of his uniform. And so he enters this world, and he's just amazed. Because this is the first time we really see him in the holodeck in this kind of situation. You know, there's other times they've been in there, but mostly for training or whatever. Mm-hmm. And this time it's like this complete picture of 1940s America mm-hmm. with, you know, the old cars on the street, the streets are glistening with rain. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he's right there in the big middle of it. And he goes to his office, aka Dixon Hill's office, in his pajamas. I mean, they would think that this was pajamas, right? Or yeah. a bellboy uniform.
A bellboy suit.
Yeah. yeah, that's what his secretary thinks. And she's like, did you lose a bet, Dix?
Very funny, Dix.
Very funny, Dix. And so after he takes a look around in his office, he's asking the computer to give him the arch so he can leave. Mm-hmm. There's a knock on the door, and we see very briefly, what's his name?
Mr. Leech.
Mr. Leech.
Yeah. But not before he sees a lady, right?
Oh, I'm sorry.
There's a lady waiting in his yeah. office, and she smooches him.
She does smooch him.
And leaves lipstick on his face.
Scandalous. Yeah. Okay, there's two plot holes in here. Here's the first one.
Yeah.
Because when he leaves the holodeck, the lipstick stays, and that's not supposed to happen.
So. Right. That's what I thought. That way, I thought what happens in the holodeck stays in the holodeck.
Yeah. Except when you have lipstick on your cheek. He got some funny looks in the hallway when he left too, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah, he did. There's that chick in there, Jessica. Mm-hmm. And she's trying to hire his detective services because...
Because she thinks someone's trying to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
And turns out...
someone is trying to kill her.
Right. She's a very textbook character, I think, of the time period. Yeah. You know, great legs, married, has multiple misters, apparently.
Yes.
And basically uses her wiles to get what she wants.
Mm-hmm.
She charms Captain Picard into taking the case, or at least thinking about it.
Right. She retains him with $100. $20 a day is his fee.
Yeah. Plus expenses.
Plus expenses. He makes an entry into his personal log, and apparently Dixon Hill's been a hero of his since he was a kid. He talks about just how impressed he was with the whole holodeck situation.
Mm-hmm.
He's really just blown away by the flawless reproduction. Later, you see him talking to his crew. And, I mean, he's just like a little kid on Christmas
yeah.
with this thing.
He's
like,
super excited.
Yeah.
Which I would be, too. If I entered the wonderful wizarding world of Harry Potter, if I was in, you know, the...
Diagon Alley?
Yes. Or
for reals?
The yeah. hall and looking up and seeing the stars and, you know, the food magically appearing on the table. Heck yeah.
Yeah, it would be crazy.
I would be like uber giddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the very end of that, Jessica leaves. Picard gets ready to go back to the real world.
Yeah.
And as he's leaving, this mm-hmm. guy named Mr. Leech is calling out, Mr. Hill, where are you? And Picard just saves the program and exits,
mm-hmm.
then goes to the observation lounge where he talks to his crew about how incredible the...
Yeah, he was so excited about seeing the cars.
Yeah, Worf was like, what is an automobile?
Right.
An ancient Earth device used primarily for transportation. That's what Data said.
Yes.
My ancient Earth device needs to be washed right
yes.
now.
Yes, so. And it's also seen as a source of status and virility.
Often mine is not. I drive a Fiat 500. Minus seen as a convenient car to park with.
But it's often a prime ingredient in teenage mating rituals.
Yeah, Wesley's like, teenage mating rituals? Like you don't know, Wesley. We know you know.
Yeah, we know you know.
Anyway, so they could see how excited he is about it, and he decides that he wants to invite Waylon because he's a 20th century historian.
Right?
Yeah. And I've never met Waylon before this. I don't think we have. And, of course, you know, Beverly wants to go, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, he asks her to go. He tells her he's going again, only this time he's going to dress the part, and then he asks her, why not come with me?
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, hey.
Yeah. Hi.
Yeah.
Funny. And he leaves a whole Gerard and insect issue to Riker until he returns. Because there's really nothing to do except for wait, or so they thought, because they didn't figure they would actually make contact until the ship was
right, they
close.
Still had like 11 hours, right?
Right. The Girardins are very impatient insects, though. Bugs. Bugs nowadays. What do you do?
What do you do? We learn a little bit more at that point about the slight slip in pronunciation of the greeting caused a 20-year rift between... that truck is back again.
Like, it doesn't matter when we record. It shows up every time.
Don't mind us. We're just recording a podcast. Yeah, so...
Yeah, Data's kind of pushing this whole thing. He's like... This is really bad. What happened, Captain? You know, you want to watch it again? You want to watch what happened?
Don't like, you want to watch for mistakes? And he's like, nah.
Well, you know, here's my question. If someone is so easily offended that a mispronunciation in their greeting would cause a 20-year rift, do you really want to be friends with them anyway?
I mean, clearly not. I would want to be friends with insects. I don't.
No.
I don't like nature. I don't do it, really, at all.
I'd be flying around in a ship the shape of a shoe.
Yes. Giant fly swatter or something.
Just kidding. Alien insects. I mean you no harm.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So Data doesn't understand why he doesn't want to review all the available information on the subject. And LaForge tells him that, look, if you've seen him react once, you don't ever have to see it again. He knows.
And Data's curious about the whole Dixon Hill obsession that Picard has, so he's like, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
And Geordi's like, he's kind of like a 20th century Sherlock Holmes. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's all you had to say, right? That's Data's obsession. And so Data goes and he requests all the information on the Dixon Hill novels, and because, you know, he's a computer, he's able to read them all almost instantaneously.
Right.
And he wants to be a part of this, so.
Right. I do like that. I like that. Data gets into it, really.
Yeah, it's very hard to separate the fact that he's an android and supposedly has no emotion from the way his character actually acts, because nobody would act that interested in something unless they had emotion.
Right.
But, I mean, how do you... Yeah. No way around
food
it.
Food for thought.
Mm-hmm.
So, we next see Captain Picard and Data, right?
Waylon. Yeah, okay. Waylon first, and then Data shows up.
Waylon outside the holodeck. They're all dressed the part with their coats and fedoras and looking very 1940-ish. I love it.
I do too. Very love dapper.
It. Yeah.
I wish men would dress like that still.
Yeah. Sometimes I do. But then I think, no. Because we would have to dress the part too. And me in stilettos and those
it's not happening.
Stockings.
Mm-mm.
No. So... He asks Waylon if he's ready for San Francisco, and Waylon's, you know, more than ready. And he says, well, you know, if it's anything like the last time, I'm sure you won't be disappointed. And Data shows up and requests permission to accompany him.
Mm-hmm. And Beverly's late. She's intending on going too, and but she doesn't show up for a while.
Yeah.
But they go ahead and enter the holodeck, and it's raining and cool, and there's cars everywhere, and there's a vendor yelling, extra, extra, with his newspaper stand. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so they go over there, and this vendor knows Dixon Hill as mm-hmm. Dixon Hill. He's like, Dix, what's going on? How's Trix?
And Picard doesn't know that Trix is has life, basically.
Yeah.
And so he's like, oh, she's fine.
Yeah, she's fine. I have no idea who you're talking about. Waylon, of course, is amazed because it's the first time he's been in the holodeck, and he's like, oh my gosh, he actually thinks that you're Dixon Hill. So Picard talks the newspaper vendor into giving him a newspaper for free, and he looks at it, and there was something about baseball in there, and Picard had no clue as to what
DiMaggio.
That was. DiMaggio. Yeah. What did he call him? DiMaggio or something like that.
DiMaggio, yeah. Streak reaches 37, and Data says, DiMaggio, sir. Jolting Joe, the Yankee Clipper. Except he says it with the accent, the Yankee Clipper.
Yankee Clipper, yeah.
Yeah. And Waylon has to tell him, baseball, sir. It was a national obsession at the time. So then Data, of course, starts spewing his facts, because that's what Data does. In front of the vendor, no less.
It's so funny because, I mean, yeah, these are holodeck characters, but they're very realistic. And this vendor's like, who is this guy? And they tell him he's from South America. He's like, yeah, I can tell by the nice tan. That would be me if I said I was from South America. They'd be like, yeah, right. Okay. Whatever.
He's not from around here, is he? Yeah. So, Data from South America.
Mm-hmm.
So, in this, Picard is reading this paper, and he sees wealthy socialite murdered. Police have several leaves and brutal slaying of Mrs. Arthur Clinton Bradley.
Yeah, that's the gal that came to see him.
Yeah.
Jessica.
Clearly, someone was trying to kill her.
Yes.
And she succeeded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so he's like, oh, I should have listened to her. And Waylon reminds him, you know, remember that this is just fiction.
Mm-hmm. Really? I don't know. See, I think that would be the drawback, because you'd want to immerse yourself in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be a drawback to remember she's just words on a page.
Right.
She's not real.
And then they're approached by a couple of cops.
Mm-hmm.
Lieutenant Bell, well, look what the cat dragged in. You know?
Yeah.
And Data's like, cat? I love it. Language is so fun. I mean, it's really, you know, it changes over the years. Oh, excuse me, Mr. Trek.
Seriously?
For the love.
Go home. So he asks where Data came from, and the vendor tells him South America. Can't you tell?
Right.
And he's like, well, wherever you're from, while you're in my town, you keep your nose clean. And Data's like touching his nose, like, what?
What?
Is my nose dirty? What's happening? And then he tells Picard, well, tough guy, this time you've really done it. Your goose is cooked.
I love it.
Yeah.
McNary apparently is Dixon Hill's friend. He's the other cop with him.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I'm sorry about this, Dix. And then Lieutenant Bell's all mean. It's a good cop, bad cop.
Yeah.
Bell's the bad cop. He's like, don't apologize to him. Yeah. And then he wants to know where he was last night between 10 and midnight. And Picard's like, that'd be a little bit hard to explain.
Yeah. He's like, well, you're going to have plenty of time to come up with something. You're going downtown. So, yeah, they take him to the police station to interrogate him over the murder of Jessica Bradley.
Yeah, apparently it's enough probable cause in 1941 to arrest somebody based on having a business card in their pocket.
Yes. I'm like, excuse me.
I would like to see how that conversation with the judge went to get that warrant.
Right.
But whatever.
Right.
And back on the bridge, Riker's in charge of this whole journey to rendezvous with the Jurata. And Tasha Yar's up there and she's like, we're being probed, sir. And so, and it's
pretty aggressive
to be probed
probe,
by aliens. I mean, saying. No one likes to be probed by aliens.
It is an aggressive probe, because
yes.
I've never seen a probe shake a ship like that.
I know. So yeah, it's shaking the whole ship, and the controls are flickering, and
it's not good. And a beam passes through it, including the holodeck, and the door briefly opens and closes a few times. And Riker says, you know, one could get the feeling that they don't exactly trust us. Geordi receives a subspace message from the Jurata that basically says, you know, Enterprise, we speak to you in your language. The time has come to honor us with ours.
Yeah. Oops.
And here we go with
we
the honor again. Like, I understand greeting someone in their language is paying honor to them, but come on now.
But not as a requirement.
Yeah.
Or a deal breaker.
Yeah.
Well, Riker doesn't know what to say. He's not the one that practiced for 14 hours on how to say this.
Right. So he's like, this is Commander Riker, the first officer.
You are not captain?
No, sir. And I'm sorry, I was like, how do you know it's a sir? Because
oh, this is, on this particular rendition of Star Trek, everybody's a sir.
Oh.
Male or female. And
really?
I started watching, yeah.
How very Scientology.
It's so weird. I started watching Voyager.
Yeah.
And there's a female captain, Captain Janeway. And at the very first episode, she tells everybody, despite Starfleet regulations, she does not prefer to be called sir.
Mm-hmm.
She would rather be called either captain or, if it's in a pinch, ma'am will do. Yeah, Starfleet regulations in this 24th century, apparently everyone is sir, which I think is ridiculous. But
that's weird, because that's what the whole Scientology Sea Org thing, they address everyone as sir, male or female. And today, they address everyone as sir.
You know, there's some folks, and I think that the whole point of it in Star Trek was to create a sense of equality among the genders.
Mm.
But to me, it doesn't do that at all. To me, it's like, you know, why can't I be a ma'am and have that level of
authority, respect? Mm-hmm.
Why do I have to be a sir to have that level of respect? Why does it have to be attached to a particular word? You know, I mean, just to me, it's silly.
Yeah.
I'm fine with ma'am. I mean, this is the South. You know, everybody calls everybody sir and ma'am down here. Just out of respect.
Definitely.
Okie dokie.
So they're all offended that...
You offend us.
Yeah.
We will not show ourselves to a mere subordinate.
Yeah. We await your captain's greeting with growing unrest.
Rude.
End of communication.
Rude.
I know. So Riker sends LaForge to find the captain.
Yes. And outside the holodeck, finally, Dr. Crusher's showing up.
And she is looking hot.
She looks amazing.
Yeah. She's looking tremendous. Like, she definitely looks the part.
She does. It's like she was made for that era.
Yeah.
Era.
Era. That era?
Yes.
So, yeah, she's straightening her stocking seams, which is yet something else that I will never do.
And wobbling on the little stiletto heels.
Yes.
Which is something I will never wear.
Yeah, and the computer is glitching at this point. It's like, enter when ready, enter when ready, enter when ready. And the door is...
Warp remover, warp remover.
Yes, and the door is opening and closing, open, close. So she's not really sure what to do, but she sort of jumps on in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she heads to the police station. I don't know how she knew how to go there, but she did.
Yeah.
Or maybe the...
Well, it just took her into it. Yeah. Okay. So she's first greeted by Data, who's like, hiya, Doc.
Yeah, he's doing cooking? His Humphrey Bogart voice. Hiya, Doc. It was great.
Yeah. She asks where Captain Picard is, and he tells her he's on ice. And Dr. Crusher's like, I beg your pardon?
He's being grilled. What is he, a fish? Yeah.
And Waylon has to step in and, you know, let her know he's being interrogated. They think he's committed a murder.
And she's fascinated. She's like, oh, can we all be interrogated?
Yes.
She feels left out. She wanted to go help him. That's not how it works. Sorry.
Yeah. So Waylon tells her, no, relax. He's having the time of his life in there. Crusher's like, well, why should he have all the fun?
Right. And she sits next to this chick. This is great because this chick is obviously a hooker.
Yeah.
But, I mean, a hooker in 1940 kind of looks like somebody dressed for Sunday service
in
today's day and age.
Yeah.
She sits next to her, and she's mimicking, like, every move this chick makes.
Mm-hmm.
Putting on the lipstick, doing the powder.
Pulling her skirt up a little bit.
Yeah. Being a little saucy.
She's got sass.
The policeman comes up to the girl sitting next to her, and he's like, come on, toots, let's go.
Yeah.
Toots. I don't know. Why was that ever an acceptable thing to call somebody?
I don't know.
The stupidest thing I've ever heard.
It doesn't even bother me. I'm like, all right.
I don't know how I'd react if somebody called me that now. I'd kind of look at him like, I'd probably start laughing.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So then...
It pans to interrogations.
So yeah. Yeah, and they're trying to nail Picard down. They're like, you know, you've got to spill it. And Picard's telling him, I've told you everything I know. And then he was like, well, you're just going to have to tell us again from the top.
And it was literally very textbook.
Yeah.
1940s.
Yeah. So Picard is excited, and he's like, oh, very good. I've read all this before, you know. It's absolutely as it should be. And they're just like, what? What the hell?
Like, all right. Yeah, you would think somebody was nuts.
Yeah.
If they said that.
Yeah.
You've read all this before. So meanwhile, LaForge is at the holodeck trying to get in, and he can't open it. Something's wrong with it. He can't communicate. You know, typically you can communicate with anybody on the ship regardless of their location, and they can't communicate with the captain. They can't open the holodeck doors, nothing.
Right.
So Riker heads down to holodeck 3. And Wesley wants to go with him because his mom's down there.
Well, yeah, and he studied all the technical manuals on the holodeck.
Because he's Wesley.
Yeah.
And he knows everything. And I would take him everywhere I went.
Yes.
If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it.
You can stick in my pocket.
Check out my hook while Wesley
revolves it. Yes. Yes. So off they go, and Riker doesn't want him to go at first, and then Troy has to tell him, look, his mom is down there too, you know. So Riker finally capitulates. But,
All right, so we're back in the interrogation room. I mean, it's the same old, same old. It's very repetitive.
Yeah.
Tell me again, Dix. Look, fellas, this is no longer amusing.
Yeah.
Okay, easy, guys. McNary, his friend, the cop friend, gets him out of there, and he goes strolling through the police station. Crusher's out there trying to imitate the other gals powdering her nose.
Yes, she's powdering her nose.
And she kind of gets hit on by the desk sergeant.
Yeah.
Yeah. He offers her some gum. And I'm like, this is so funny because she didn't even know what chewing gum was.
Right, so she swallows it.
And the sergeant's asking her if she wants to go with him to see Tommy Dorsey.
He's got 2 tickets to the dance tomorrow night.
That's right.
Yeah, that's pretty fun. And then we flash outside the holodeck where they're in the hallway and Riker's asking him, have you tried the intercom? And Geordi's like, yeah.
I really. Oh, I didn't think of that. Did you unplug it and plug it back in?
Yeah. Yes. So then Riker tries the intercom and nothing. Duh. Mm-hmm. Then Wesley takes a piece of equipment and uses it to look at the holodeck controls. Mm-hmm. And Riker's like hovering. And I just need for him to back off.
But hovering, right?
I'm like, stop helicoptering. It's going to be okay. So he asks them, are you seeing anything? You know, can I do anything? And they're like, you can do nothing. We're not seeing anything yet. And we have to go through this, you know, millimeter by millimeter, basically. Mm-hmm. And so Riker gets upset and kind of walks off saying, get it fixed. Whatever.
Okay, boss. Back on the holodeck, they cut Picard loose from the interrogation. But they mention a name to him as he's going. They're like, we know you're dealing with Red Block, Dixon.
Yeah.
Take it from a friend, it doesn't help your case. He's like, who is Red? Of course, he doesn't know who. I don't know. Did he not read his own novels?
Well, I guess not. But apparently Red Block was big throughout all of the Dixon Hill novels because I think Data knows who he is, right?
Well, Data just read them.
But I don't think Captain Picard does. And also, we heard his name prior when he was talking to Jessica Bradley before she was murdered. She says, it could be Red Block trying to kill me. And he thinks that I have what he's searching for, but I don't.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute because I'm like a little ticked off that I don't think we ever figure out what that is, ever.
Yeah, no. It's never discussed as to what he's looking for.
Okay, so McNary invites Dixon to dinner. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, soon, but for the moment I have other duties. Of course, he's talking about his starship.
Yeah.
And he's like, blonde or brunette? And Picard's like, she's a lady, all right, and her name is Enterprise. And McNary says, sounds like a working girl to me.
Yeah. Oh,
funny. So he emerges from the back of the station and sees Beverly looking good.
Yeah.
Looking like she was born for the 1940s.
She was. She looked beautiful.
She did. And he tells her, I must say, you wear it well.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you could make it. And they are, I mean, they're like heavy duty flirting right there.
Yeah, they
super
are.
Super heavy duty flirting.
They are. So.
While they're gazing at each other's eyes.
Yeah, he tells her that he thinks they need to get back to the Enterprise, right?
Yeah, but she wants to go see his office.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, why not? That look, they should not have done this.
Right? They, that's where the problem idea. Starts.
This is where it all goes downhill. Waylon wants to join, obviously, and Data's like, yeah, me too, boss. I'd love to take a gander. Yes. Data's awesome. I love
him. So they walk into the office, and there's Leech, where he left him.
He's been sitting there the whole time.
And he tells him, Mr. Hill, you've been avoiding me. And Waylon says, it's Felix Leach. It has to be. You know, because he's a historian and he's familiar with the novels.
Mm-hmm.
They have that little exchange where Leach is like, you know me?
Right.
Like, I don't know you.
Yeah, and of course they're all like, well, you know, we're just stopping by. We have to be going. And he's mm-hmm. and Leach is like, you're being rude, Mr. Hill. You haven't introduced me to your companions.
Mm-hmm.
And Leach pulls a gun on them.
He tells them, well, you're not going anywhere, not until we have a little chat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which isn't a big deal. This is the holodeck, right? Nothing bad happens on the holodeck. It's got safety protocols to keep you from getting hurt.
Right. Leach is telling him that he's not a man to be toyed with. He was hired to locate a certain object and that he demands to know what Dix has done with it.
Leach is a little minion.
Mm-hmm.
I had fun. I mean, I enjoy this particular scene because...
It gets a little Cagney.
It does.
A little Jimmy Cagney going.
Waylon is the historian and he's all into this and this is fun because there's safety protocols and you can't get hurt.
Right.
So he smarts off to Leach and he's like, take it from me, Leach. You'll never find it. Now give me the gun.
Mm-hmm.
And Leach shoots him in the chest. And he falls to the floor all very, you know, dramatically. And everyone applauds. All the crew applaud because it looked like a really great performance by Waylon. Except it wasn't a performance.
Right.
The bullet really...
It was real.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he lays on the floor dying.
Yes. He's bleeding. And Picard punches Leach and disarms him. Which I was like, ooh, yeah, there you go. And Leach is mad because he struck him. You hit me. You just shot my friend. And you're mad that I hit you? Really?
No.
Right. Right.
And apparently, we find out Leach is working for Redlock because he says, I promise you, Redlock isn't going to like this.
Oh, get your pipes checked.
Okay. Anyway, yeah. Sorry. What's wrong with people? I promise you, Redlock isn't going to like this. And then Leach runs from the office.
Right.
So, of course, they're trying to exit because Crusher's like, Waylon's going to die if we don't get him help. We need to get him to the sick bay.
Yeah.
So she can fix him because he's losing a lot of blood. But they try to get the exit to come up. It won't come up.
And he sends Data out to try the exit in the hall, and it doesn't work either.
Mm-hmm. So Picard asks for suggestions from Mr. Data, and he's at a loss. He's like, the computer refuses to accept voice commands. The controls for the environments are, therefore, not accessible. And... Crusher asks them to get her some light because she's trying to keep Waylon from dying.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly we see Mr. Redlock. He enters the scene.
Yeah.
He's like, good day, Mr. Hill. My name is Cyrus Redlock.
So, well, here's my question with that is why are all villains in movies like that or in the older series on TV, they're all like rather large men. He was a big man.
He was a big man.
And he reminded me of Boss Hogg. <Duke's
master. laughs> Except with way better manners.
Yeah.
And he even explains that good manners are never a waste of time, always civility.
Right. He's very eloquent,
mm-hmm.
which kind of throws you.
Well, this is the gangsters of the 40s.
They're the gentle.
Yeah.
He's a gentle gangster.
Yes. He's a very polite murderer.
Yeah.
Oh, Leach walks up to Dixon Hill, aka mm-hmm. Picard, and smacks him in the face with a gun. And of course, you know, by this point, they are well aware that the safety protocols are off and they have got to proceed with caution. Talk about making it very realistic.
Right.
This is no longer a game, folks.
Right.
And kind of feel like the world we're living in now. I mean, sometimes you just want to yell at the sky, computer end program.
Yes.
And that's kind of how I feel this week. And I'm sure all of you do too. And that's why we kind of escape to our little fantasy land, our fantasy worlds of the lessons from Star Trek and our TV shows and things like that to get our mind off of what's going on in the real world.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because we don't have the luxury of saying computer end program. And it's unfortunate.
Very true.
Because right now I would totally do that and reprogram it to be virus free.
And not the 75th anniversary of the Hunger Games, right. Where the odds may ever be in your favor to get you a slice or a piece of toilet paper.
That's right. I'm selling it by the roll.
By the square. It's ration.
Right. So back on the holodeck, McNary enters, Dixon Hill's cop friend.
Right.
And he's like, Dix, you in there? And he comes in, and of course he sees the whole scene with Redlock and Leach and the other thug with the rest of the folks at gunpoint.
Yeah. He gets hit in the stomach and divested of his gun and basically made to just be a spectator of what's going down in Dix's office.
Mm-hmm. The whole point in Red Block accosting this group is to find whatever this item is.
Yeah.
That Dixon Hill is supposedly in possession of.
And yet we still don't know.
They never tell us never. What it is.
And for that, I'm pissed.
I'm mad. I have zero closure.
Yes.
Jessica was all about this item. Apparently she had given it to mm-hmm. Dixon Hill. She gets murdered. You could at least let us know what it is they're looking for.
Yeah.
But no, we never know. And of course, it comes up about Data being all pale faced again.
Yeah.
And Leech asks him, "Where were you hatched anyway?" And Data's like, "I was created on a planet." And Picard interrupts him. He's like, "Data." Data's like, "South America."
Right.
That's funny.
But they're having none of that because he's like, "I've traveled everywhere and I've never seen anyone look like you."
Right. Picard goes out on a limb here. He's like, "You know what? Mm-hmm. I'm just going to tell the truth." Isn't that a novel idea?
Yeah.
So Picard tells him, okay, Red Block, Data's not from this world. None of us are. We're from a world of fabulous riches. A world where there are objects far greater than the one you seek.
Right.
Wish I knew what it was.
Right. Anyway.
And Leech is like, you know, you guys are crazy. You've never said any of this to me before. Even McNary. I'm like, way to throw him under the bus, McNary.
Right.
He's like, you know, he's right, Dix. That's pretty weak stuff.
Can you not?
Work in the room here, Mary. Shut up. Picard's like, listen, I'm not Dixon Hill. I just look like Dixon Hill. Of course, everybody starts piping in. Data's like, yeah, he's telling the truth. So they're trying to tell them that they're all fictional characters.
Mm-hmm.
This is a simulation and they're really not there. How is someone going to react when you tell them they're not real?
Yeah, they're going to laugh it off. And right. How do you tell a sim he's a sim?
Right.
Yeah.
It's McNary crazy. McNary pipes in. He's like, you know, give it up, fellas. These guys are too smart to fall for that story. And Data's right. Like, I'm afraid you're not real either, Lieutenant.
Yeah.
And Leech didn't want to hear any more of this. He just wants to shoot them. And Reblock's like, you know, this is an interesting situation. Maybe we should test the theory by killing one of them. And he threatens to kill Beverly. And of course, that, you know, ups the game a little bit because they know that they will die if they're shot.
Right. So then they sort of go back and forth over... All right, well, you know, you'll never get the thing you're looking for if you kill us. You know, I'll tell you how to get it, but you need to put the gun down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, basically they're stalling.
Mm-hmm.
Just anything to get a little bit more time.
Right, and they say you have to help save Mr. Whalen's life for me right. to tell you any more.
Yeah.
Oh, Picard says, you know, if we can find a way of getting him to our sick bay by fixing the computer. Computer, in 1941, is not a thing.
Right.
And Redblock's like, what is, I don't even know that word.
Right.
And Data explains what it is. Of course, they think they're all crazy. Then the exit appears.
Right.
Right?
But not before the office turns into a snowstorm.
Oh, I forgot about that. That was great. Yes. It's an Arctic snowstorm. So it gives kind of credence to the whole.
Yeah.
So when the exit opens, Picard says, that's it. That's the way into our world. Knowing that.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that's on the holodeck stays on the holodeck.
Yes.
And cannot
yes.
live outside of the holodeck. So he encourages Redblock to just, you know, go conquer the world by walking out into the corridor.
Right. Another world, a whole new world to plunder.
Mm-hmm. And so he does. Redblock and Leech both step out into the hallway and give instructions that after they're gone to kill the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
But once they're out there,
they disappear.
Yes. Ha ha. Joke's on you, Cyrus Redblock.
Right. Which is hilarious.
Mm-hmm. And then Data takes the gun off the other thug and...
And pinches it closed.
And drops it. And I'm like...
Yeah.
Way to go, Data. And then Data decks the guy. That's funny.
Yes. Very hard. And then carries Waylon out to sick bay.
Picard stands behind follows. For a minute, though, to talk yeah. to McNary.
Yeah.
And it was kind of sad because, you know...
Yeah,
I
it's
felt
like
sorry
they were
for
friends.
Him.
They were friends, and so he tells him he wishes he could take him with him.
And McNary wants to know, and he says, so this is the big goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me something, Dixon. When you've gone, will this world still exist? Will my wife and kids still be waiting for me at home? And Picard says, I honestly don't know. And that's so sad. He's a holodeck character,
is.
And I felt really bad for him.
It is. And then, you know, you start thinking, well, just because we're not in it, does that hologram continue? you know?
Right. And we encounter that in a later episode of Star Trek Next Generation with one of the Sherlock Holmes programs, where one actually achieves self-consciousness on their own. And in this one, they've basically given these characters self-consciousness. They've told them that they're simulations. So it makes it very awkward.
And I think that would be the one drawback into doing something like this, because if you are invested, and we invest in our characters in our favorite books, we know them inside and out. We resemble them.
We miss them.
Yes. We grieve for them. We are joyous with them. We go through triumphs and celebrations and funerals and death and all these things an amazing writer can take us through.
I mean, really, what a talent to have. To be a writer
and to
that can pull you in.
You know, how about the authors also painting the world that they're in? So that author had to lay the framework for what Dix's office looked like. You know, how else would the program know?
Right. They have to paint a picture.
Yeah. And I think what an incredible thing. What an incredible feat. Mm-hmm. And when I think about all my favorite books, like Kristen Ashley, the Rock Chick series, love that. Mm-hmm. And that she paints such a vivid picture and I can see it. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like I can hear the characters. Mm-hmm. Nora Roberts is another one. Oh, Diana Gabaldon, we can watch on Stars, you know. I mean, it's crazy, but you see those. They sort of do come to life. And to be in a sim like that, where you know that as soon as you walk out, it's all going to end, you almost don't want to. Right. I would struggle with that, I think.
Well, it's like the same feeling like when you binge watch a series and it's over and you're mad about it. Yes. I'm mad about it for weeks.
Yes, Scorpion. Stop it.
Just really, that was rude.
It was
to end
rude.
That one. I feel the same way about Star Trek Enterprise, though. It only ran for 4 seasons, and it's had some moments that it was kind of sucking. But for the most part, I loved that series. And
really?
It just didn't, I don't know if it was the timing or what, it just did not go over well. And I loved it. I would love to bring it back, but with Scott Bakula, because I like Scott Bakula.
Yes.
They're finally out of the holodeck program. And Data and Picard head to the bridge, still in their 1940s garb,
right.
Which I was like, yes,
love it.
I loved it. I'm like, heck yeah. Captain takes off his fedora and his jacket and throws it in his captain's chair. Mm-hmm. And Data proceeds to the navigation and sits down.
He opens hailing frequencies.
Mm-hmm. Riker says, are you ready, sir?
Takes a deep breath.
And spills it.
This is Jean-Luc Picard, captain of the Enterprise. Klaxon, Ries, Blash, Blanach, Nick, Karnik. Ad, Trasula, Trasula.
And does it flawlessly.
And yes, that is what that sounded like. The Geraudans answer, you have honored us with your words of greeting. A new day dawns between us. I'm like, at this point, I don't care. You people are too much trouble and rude.
Yes.
I don't want to be friends anymore.
What do you bring to the table?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Besides criticism.
Sass. Which is all I bring to the table, incidentally. So applause breaks out among the bridge. He's done it.
And the captain's like, thank you. Thank you. I'll be here all week. It was beautiful.
Yes.
I love the ending of this show. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. And my favorite part, LaForge turns to Data and he's like, so how was it? I'm sorry, for someone with no emotion, Data is like, he's all drama. Data's like, it was raining in the city by the bay, a hard rain, hot enough to wash.
And Picard's like, Data!
Sorry, sir. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And they make their way through the galaxy to their next adventure.
But not before Picard throws his little thing in there of step on it.
Step on it.
Yeah. I think that was a good one.
I really
liked that one.
Of course, I am sad that Waylon got shot.
Yeah, but I mean, clearly he lives.
Yeah, since they never said he died, we're just going to assume that he lived and he recovered. The things that I am ticked off about is that we never know what the item is.
Yes.
One thing that I never took the time to research is if the Dixon Hill series is a real series. I don't know that it is.
Oh, you know what? I don't know either.
I don't know.
Maybe.
We're going to find out. We'll let you know. What kind of lessons did we have to learn from this?
I think definitely be careful what you wish for, again. You know, you Don't trust insects because they will probe you and it'll make a mess.
They're clearly not friendly.
Yes. And, you know, I think this encourages everyone to have an escape. Find something that will take you outside of your current circumstance and allow you to be, you know, in another world, like a book, a movie, you know, a TV show, something that will give your mind time to regroup from the stressors of every day. Mm-hmm. I think it's important for everyone's mental health to do that.
I agree. We all need our downtime. Yeah. That's one way to escape is through a really good novel.
Yeah.
Books are my favorite. I love to read.
Yeah.
Ever since I was very, very little, I've read every day. And I always have a book. Sometimes it's the same one I've read before. And
yeah,
my unfortunate choice right now is Dan Brown's Inferno. If you have not read that book, let me just tell you that it is about a virus that is manufactured.
Oh, so like real life.
Yeah. And it's supposed to, it was made by this guy that wants to eliminate 2/3 of the world's population because he feels like it's overcrowded. And so I started reading that one slowly somewhere around January.
Mm-hmm.
And then real life happened. I'm like, maybe I'll just pick another book for now.
Yeah. Yeah. And thanks, Corona. Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah. So yeah. I usually have 3 or 4 different books going at any one time.
Mm-hmm.
But I always have my favorites I go back to. And even though I could probably repeat them word by word, I still love them. And they still, you know, give me an escape. And I don't know if it will always happen like that, but I know that it always has. You know, I go back to my favorites, the classics, The Pride and Prejudice, The Wuthering Heights. I love them. There is something inherently beautiful about the characters.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah.
Other lessons. Let's see.
I don't think I learned anything else from this. Other than everyone needs an escape.
I do agree with that. You know, in regard to the insects, let's try to not be so strict in our expectations of other mm-hmm. people.
Yeah, let's be a little bit more forgiving of each other.
Right. Karen.
Yeah. Karen and the Dollar General.
Let's try to be a little bit more understanding.
Yes. Well, I think that's it for us this week. What's coming next? What's our next episode, Christy?
If I know, I'm about to look. Okay. Let's see. Season. Oh my God, I hope it's not that one.
What is it? If it's another bad one, we may have to have a bye week.
No, this one's funny, but it sucks. all right, so if I'm not mistaken, our next episode is season 1, episode 13, Angel 1.
Hmm.
I don't really want to talk about it.
Oh, goody. All right, well, until next week, you guys take care of each other and share your TP.
Yes. Be kind to one another.
Yes.
Love each other.
And read a good book.
And read a good book. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Hey, Kitty here. We want to encourage you to subscribe to our podcast, rate, review, leave us a comment. We love hearing from you. Till next time. Bye.